Hey Potters, welcome to episode 265 of Cosplay Podcast for all things cosplay.
Yay.
Happy 2 weeks until Halloween, everybody.
Which means one more episode until after dark. Like, I think that our next episode is?
Our next episode is the after dark.
Yes. So that means two more episodes before the season ends, and then we'll be back in January. Break time, which means nothing because it goes by so quickly. It doesn't feel like we have a break.
You all won't even really notice
that
we're temporarily off the air. We're not pod fading. We're just
this every time. We've never pod faded.
We are not going to pod fade. We're just going to take two whole months.
Ooh.
For the holiday. And so we can, you know, spend time with family and friends and all that sort of fun stuff. So we will, of course, after the After Dark session completes, we will be on hiatus for just 2 months, and then we will see you guys promptly again in January. But, of course, there is a plethora, a veritable flood of episodes that you can watch on our YouTube, not just episodes of our show, but all sorts of panels and things we've recorded from other conventions as well. So you have plenty of cosplay content for your viewing pleasure.
And knowing me, as I have done the last 2 years, I'm sure I'll still sneak in like a mini episode during our break. So I don't really even take the time off. I still do other cospod things in between.
And of course, we will still be around even if we're not broadcasting. So of course, you can always enter discussions with us on our social media and we'll still respond to you. You can send us emails and everything.
You can see all the information over there in the corner underneath Amber. We're giving the outro way too early. Oh, Lord. Episode over. Bye, kids.
We haven't even gotten anywhere in the show. And speaking of getting into the show, why don't we do that with our cosplay updates?
Cool. This is going to be the Amber session because I have nothing to provide you. Enjoy.
Of course, if you all remember from last time, I was working on my little cummerbund thing and I did eventually finish top stitching it with all of my lovely, neat little prick stitches. It's really hard sometimes when you have fabric to match the color of thread when you're doing top stitching so that it's harmonious, because you can do something called catch stitching, which is meant to catch the eye, and you do it in a contrasting color. So like if I had stitched with white or black thread or even something like purple, if I wanted to be really zany, then you would see the stitches very obviously, but that would be intentional on my part. Mm-hmm. In this case, I want it to be really subtle. So I ended up having to get embroidery floss in a matching color, which means taking like a strip of fabric over to Joanne's and holding it up against all the different embroidery thread sections so I could find one that was the right match. And thankfully I did eventually find one. So now I just have to assemble the rest of this. And then what I'm going to do is just do a double turn hem on this, because you can see it's fraying like nobody's business all the way down this fabric. This is not very fray friendly fabric. It's actually like fray faux fabric for me. So I'm going to do a double turn hem on it so that it's nice and neat, and that way I can assemble it as an accessory for another cosplay. And then I mentioned to you all last episode that I was working with some leftover upholstery fabric to make a rug, a little throw rug, so that I don't, you know, go slip sliding around in my cosplay and crafting work area. And I wanted to show you, this is what that upholstery fabric looks like. It has a velveteen nap on it, but it's very, very thick. It actually has a canvas backing on it. You can actually see the weave on camera. So it has a very duck canvas like feel to it. And this is something that will wear your needles out like nobody's business, even a single layer thick. Double layer wears the needles out twice as fast. So if you're going to work with fabric like this, any sort of upholstery fabric, whether it's making a rug for your crafting center or using it for cosplay purposes, say if you're working with it to line a corset, make sure that you have either new or really close to new needles so that they're nice and sharp. And when the needles wear out, please replace them. Don't try and like keep using them past the end of their life, because I know that normally sharp tools, people like to shy away from them because they are sharp and they hurt when they cut you, and there's a reason for that. But in this case, sharp needles are safe needles because they will actually work the way they're intended to. They will slide through the fabric the way that they're supposed to, and they will be less prone to break.
Mm-hmm.
Because a dull needle will actually snap on you, and that's actually less safe for you than having a sharp needle in the first place. And it's kind of the same thing with scissors. You'll always want to keep your scissors sharp when working with fabric, because if you have dull scissors, you're going to use a lot more force than perhaps you need to, and that's actually unsafe for you too. So it's always a good idea to keep all of your sharp tools when working with fabric like this very, very sharp.
If you're wondering,
your tools is always a good idea.
Yeah, if you're wondering how you can tell if a needle is getting dull, the easiest thing you can do is see if you're getting skipped stitches. And I know this because this happened to me last week, because I was just noticing like my stitches are starting to skip a little bit. And I was like, oh, that means it's time to replace that needle. And the moment I did, everything was fine again.
Yep. And also, you can just look at the needle. If you can visually see that it's blunted,
yeah,
then you're way past the time.
You're way past due.
Yeah, you should not be able to visually see bluntness on your needle. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't look like a beading needle,
right,
in other words. And if you need to work with really stiff fabric like this, like you can see I've got two layers together now. So now I'm working with doubled fabric, so it's now twice as thick. You can use leather needles,
yes,
for something like this, because they're more heavy duty and they're intended to work with heavier weight fabrics like this. So they will actually dull even less quickly than, say, standard needles in a sewing machine when you're working with this. So I just wanted to give that pro tip, because the only other thing that I've been working on is something that, it's not that I can't show you, it's that I don't really want to show you. And the reason for that is that I've been slowly working on replacing my cosplay cosmetics.
Mm.
And obviously, I'm not going to show you my whole collection of cosplay cosmetics. I'm not going to bring my makeup box to you. But I did want to mention for you all, since 'tis the season for sales and such, it's a good idea to take this time when there are less conventions going on and start going through your cosplay makeup. Because makeup, as we've mentioned in previous episodes, does not last forever. Contrary to popular belief, you cannot keep your foundation around for 10 years and still expect it to be good. Same thing with powder, eyeshadow, lip gloss. Pretty much anything that you use in makeup eventually has a shelf life and mm-hmm. needs to be replaced. And the reason for that is not because the makeup particularly goes bad. There are certain elements of it that do
yes.
go bad, and it can cause you to break out when you use it. So yeah, it'll still work if you put on 3-year-old foundation, but you may also end up getting, you know, some pimples or some rashes the next day after wearing it because it went bad. So since everything is on sale nowadays, and since there are less occasions where you'll probably be using the makeup, it's a slow time in the cosplay world right now, then go ahead and go through your cosplay makeup. If anything is over a year old, you probably want to replace it at this point. Some cosmetics will have less shelf life. Some are even as short as 6 months. Some can go as long as 2 years. And usually that's only for things like eyeshadow and powders. Anything liquid, no more than a year. Go ahead and replace it. You don't have to replace it all at once. I certainly don't, because that stuff's expensive, yo. Especially when you get nicer cosmetics and not, you know, dollar store cosmetics. When you start getting things that are like $15, $20 a piece, you're probably not going to replace like 5 or 6 items of that at once. Just do it in stages. It's perfectly fine to go and get like 1 or 2 items here, wait a week or two, 1 or 2 items here, wait a month. That's what I do with my cosmetics, frankly. I just replace a little bit at a time until I've gone through and replaced all of my collection that I need to. And when you do, try and replace it with good quality stuff, or at least better quality than what you had, if you can afford it. Obviously, I'm not going to ask you to break the bank. But it's much healthier for you as well when you get the better quality stuff. And it'll last you longer, too. So I know that with this being the Halloween season, that they have all sorts of, you know, stage makeup, theater makeup out in retail stores that's alongside the costume walls and the aisles that they have. Some of that stuff is like dollar store quality.
Yeah.
Be mindful of that. It's only meant kind of like for Halloween use only.
It's
like
temporary.
One or two uses and you're done. Yeah, this is not like cosplay theater quality makeup that will last you for, say, a year for next year's convention season.
Right.
So just keep that in mind as you're going through the aisles of, say, Spirit Halloween or Michael's or Walmart. and you're looking at the makeup aisle.
Even something like spirit gum, I know that sounds silly, like, isn't all spirit gum the same? No, not all spirit gum is the same, actually. The ones that you get at a local party store are a far lower quality than what you get at a professional theater shop. The theater shop quality is far superior and worth the, like, the two extra dollars to get. I promise you that.
And it'll be probably the cheapest it will be year-round right now.
Yeah.
At theater stores, because this is like the big season for theater.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, it's not really a sale season for regular cosmetics, but this being kind of the, you know, day after Thanksgiving, Christmas shopping season, this is also probably the cheapest you'll find those. So something to consider. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much what I've been working on thus far for me to show you, at least, for this cosplay thing.
Just one of these episodes, Amber and I are just going to break out our makeup boxes and be like, here is all of the stuff. You're going to be surprised by the number of eyeshadow palettes I have, but probably not.
I think that's the item that I have the most of in my makeup collection is eyeshadow palettes.
Oh, absolutely. Because it's amazing how much you can do with eyeshadow, even if you're like in a bind and on the fly. Heck, I've used it before multiple times where if I didn't have any rouge for my cheeks, it's just like pulling through my eyeshadow and be like, this is close enough. Whoop, here we go. Yeah.
I've used it as concealer powder.
Yeah, you can use that. You can use it for contouring. It's a great way, of course, for changing your eyebrow color, which I think is the best way possible. I've used it before on my lips when I've needed an emergency lipstick. Yeah.
I have switched entirely to using eye palettes that are heavily pigmented for eyebrow color changing.
Good.
And I have completely switched out of like the whole Elmer's glue thing, the acrylic paint thing.
Good.
You can still do that. Don't get me wrong, Potters.
Don't do
like, I'm not saying you can't do that.
Don't.
Just that it's so much more comfortable and it's easier to get rid of out of your hair afterward and still have eyebrow hair left over.
It's better for your skin, too.
Yes. If you're using products intended for the skin and not for, say, you know, elementary school products, using eyeshadow palettes that are heavily pigmented is also much faster.
Oh, so much faster.
The whole, because usually whenever I used to do the whole, like using acrylic paint to change my eyebrow color, it would take me a full 30 minutes because that's how long it takes the paint to dry. You can't apply anything else until the paint is dry, including additional layers of paint. Because as you can see, I have very dark hair to begin with. Thanks, Mom and Dad. And so it takes me like multiple layers of paint and or regular pigment to change the color of my hair, including my eyebrows. But if I get like good quality makeup, like theatrical makeup, or if I get really heavily well-pigmented eyeshadow, then I can just use one layer of that over foundation.
And you're done.
Exactly. And then you just get, you know, little eye makeup remover towelette and just wipe. You're done.
You're set.
And you still have eyebrow hair left over. Which was a problem whenever you use things like Elmer's glue.
Which is funny because the Elmer's glue stick trick is still very commonly used with a lot of special effects because it does what it needs to do. And because you can wash it off with soap and water, it's safe.
And it's cheap.
And it's cheap and it's efficient and it's plentiful. Just
Pretty
not the best for hair.
Everybody can use it as long as you're not allergic to the ingredients in Elmer's glue.
Right. I actually think that they have a gluten-free version now. Don't quote me on this, but I could have sworn that somebody has some kind of gluten-free version. I know that's a concern, especially with things like hairspray, because you don't realize this, peeps, but there's actually a lot of gluten hairspray. There are brands out there that are gluten-free, so if you have that kind of allergy, it can actually like affect you. You can get breakouts and all that stuff. It's great stuff. Like Got to Be Glue, which I know is like the cosplay savior golden standard of all things wigs. It's got gluten in it. So, yeah.
And also be careful whenever using adhesives and things for effects, not just Elmer's glue, but any sort of adhesive. Be careful of latex, especially if you know that you have an allergic reaction to latex. If you don't know, they'll always tell you test it on a small patch of skin somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Please actually do that.
Test
don't
it first.
Don't ignore the instructions that say test it and just go, oh, I'll be fine. Like, no, you legit might not be. Please follow the safety instructions.
You all have heard my cosplay horror stories with all that stuff in the past when I used to do more of the prosthetic and bald cap stuff. So,
and kind of in the same vein, like, I know that there are party hair dye colors.
Mm-hmm.
Please don't use those on your eyebrows, because if that gets in your eyes, it can actually blind you.
It can. They're very dangerous.
Not meant for that.
No, they're very
coloring
dangerous.
The head is,
it's fine.
The head hair is fine. Do not do the eyebrows. Use eyeshadow, please. Or if you can't get eyeshadow, you can fall back on the Elmer's glue trick. You can use the acrylic paint trick. Don't use like actual hair dye that's meant for head hair. Please be safe. We want to see all of your shining, smiling faces at the next convention. Please be safe. Safety first, safety second, cosplay third. All right. So with that, why don't we get into today's topic?
Yep, let's go.
All right. So because in 2 weeks we will be having all sorts of Halloween shenanigans, we thought we would chat today about things that you should look for when buying a costume. Because, of course, with there only being 2 weeks until Halloween, not everybody's going to have enough time to make a costume. Or they may just not have the resources right now to do it. In which case, buying a costume, perfectly fine. Perfectly legit. Nothing wrong with it. You can go out to Party City if you want. You can go to Spirit Halloween if you want. You can go to Walmart, Michaels, everywhere that sells costumes. Doesn't really matter. And there are plenty, plenty of online cosplay shops that sell them now.
Mm-hmm.
You can choose from any number of about a dozen different cosplay shops that will ship you any sort of anime or movie or television-based cosplay for a pretty reasonable amount of money, all things considered, compared to what it used to be.
Yeah.
And so when you go out and buy these things, of course, there are some things that you should still look for and have as kind of a baseline standard that you should not accept as any substitutes lower than.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first thing that I would tell you to do is check the seams of the costume. And that's for your own safety, because some of the costumes are admittedly nice looking on the front, nice looking on the sides and the back. And then you flip the seams and you run your finger along it and there are holes.
Or they're just only held together with a simple straight stitch. It's not serged together.
Right.
It's just not even a French seam. French seam is way too fancy for this. It's just really simple, cut and paste, move forward.
Uh-huh. And sometimes there are even breaks in the straight stitching.
Yep.
And of course, if you are wearing this out somewhere, especially where you will be seen by, say, colleagues or people who are, you know, of respect in your world, you probably don't want to have holes in your seams that, you know, give embarrassing views to people when you're wearing the costume.
Or likely to pop.
Yes. So the number one thing I would tell you to do is please just, it doesn't have to be a detailed search, but just very quickly, like judges might do in a cosplay contest, flip the seams and just visually check, make sure there are no obvious holes. You can run your finger along the seams and just gently press inward, and you should be able to feel any holes too,
mm-hmm.
fairly quickly. You don't have to do anything like really in depth. Holes are usually pretty easy to find. So that is thing the first. Thing the second is check what kind of fabric that it's made of.
Mm.
You can tell the difference between really cheap, like dollar store grade satin and decent costume grade satin. There's a difference in the weight to it, in the feel of it. There's a difference in like the visual look of it. If it's uber, uber, uber shiny, it's probably dollar store quality.
Yeah.
The more matte it is, generally the nicer it is. And also the heavier the weight of the fabric, generally the nicer it is and the better coverage you'll get too. You don't have to worry about things like sheer fabric.
Mm.
Because sometimes you'll get fabric that's really, really, really thin. And if you have light, like backlit stages behind you, you probably don't want that if the fabric is that thin. You want it to be at least like decent quality fabric, especially if it's only a single layer. which most costumes that you purchase...
Yeah, they're going to be single layer. It's very rare that you'll find any with any kind of lining in it. More often than not, even though the quality with a lot of party stores has gone up over the years, it's still polyester or some kind of polyester rayon blend. It's going to be very hard for you to find anything that's natural fibers. So just kind of be prepared for the fact that it's going to be synthetic. And there's really nothing that you can do about it. And they do that because it's cheap, it's plentiful, and they can easily mass produce it.
Yep. It's very inexpensive for them to produce those kind of costumes.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't just go for the satin. Like Val mentioned, there's going to be other types of fabric that the costumes are made of. So check the quality on that too. You don't have to necessarily look and say, oh, well, this is... you know, Italian silk in this costume. You don't have to be like really obtuse about it. Just
right.
just generally check and make sure that it's up to par with what you're paying for it.
There you go. That's a good way of putting it. Because, I mean, to be frank, if you're going to get a party store quality, you're not going to get something that's full on silk. It ain't just going to happen. It's mostly just making sure that you get something that's properly, not transparent, or if you need to layer it up, then you already know, like, I want this costume, but I'm going to have to wear a tank top underneath it. So just at least that way you're prepared for it.
Definitely. And since you mentioned wearing other things underneath, also check to see if it comes with accessories, mm-hmm. especially if there's a picture of a model wearing the costume on the front. Doesn't necessarily mean the costume actually comes with everything that you see.
Yep.
Especially if it's for, you know, important things like the wig.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't come with that wig, then you have to know that you'll have to go off and purchase one that looks like that if you want to complete the look that you see in the happy friendly picture. And likewise, that goes for any sorts of accessories like belts, like jewelry, like shoes and or boots, if there's capes, any sort of just like basically like non-core portions of the costume, look at the list and see what it comes with in the bag. Because you'll find that more often than not, it doesn't come with any. All you get is like the dress and or shirt and or pants that you put on the body and that's it.
Maybe shoe covers. True. Yeah. If it's like a kid's costume, it usually comes with everything, but it's also a lot cheaper and it's like the really flimsy stuff. If it's an adult costume, usually like right next to it, they'll have a display like here's the wig and then here's all the jewelry and here's the shoes. And it's like you end up spending like $120 for the costume. And it's the same thing on cosplay sites. Cosplay sites, it's like you get the base outfit and then here's the wig that you can buy for extra. Here's the belt you can buy for extra.
It has a little section underneath that says customers also
yes!
view. And it shows all the parts that you expect to see with that costume. And it's like, wait, but the picture... Oh,
it's just the outfit and nothing else.
Yep. And likewise, since we spoke about makeup in the intro, also make sure that you purchase the makeup to go with it,
mm-hmm.
especially if you need to, say, change your eyebrow color to match a wig that is not the same color as your natural hair. Because I guarantee you the makeup does not come with any costume.
Nope.
No costume comes with the makeup. So you'll have to buy that as a sort of accessory on the side. And you'll end up getting your use out of it anyway.
I will say, if you're interested in getting the makeup while you're at the party store just because of convenience, mm-hmm. there's nothing wrong with that. They're good for one-time use. Do look into either getting some setting powder or a setting spray separately, because the one bad thing about that makeup is that it wipes off very easily. So if you get a little like hot and sweaty just because of circumstances, or if you're outside or whatever, your face will literally start melting. And at least with some setting powder or setting spray, it can help kind of contain it and keep it on for a little bit longer.
I know that some people will try and get by the cheap way and use hairspray.
Please don't do that. Do not do that. Oh my God. Anytime I saw a Homestuck cosplayer doing that in the bathroom, I would be like, stop. Let me give you my setting spray, please. You will be so much happier in the long run and your skin will thank you. Please don't do that.
Hairspray is...
it's meant for here.
Good.
That's it.
Right. And while you can use things like, I know Elmer's glue is not meant for eyebrow changing colors, but people do it anyway. This is one of those things where hairspray really should not be used as a setting spray, even though you can, doesn't mean you should.
Should, yes. It is toxic in very in enough amounts, it can actually be very harmful right. for you.
Plus, it's not something you really want to be constantly inhaling.
No, it's not the best. I don't recommend it.
No, do not recommend. 0 of 10 would not do again. Of course, I've never done that as a setting, so I guess I can't say would not do again because I haven't done it in the first place.
I've never done it either, so it's just always been weird to me. It's like, why? Like, I understand why, but also it's like, it's still tacky after a bit. Because with setting spray, once it's on, the tackiness goes away immediately. It's like, there is right. no tacky. That's part of the joy of it. It's just like, oh, it feels like my normal skin. It's great.
Mm-hmm. All right. So the next thing that I have on my list of things to check when buying a cosplay is if you are buying a bodysuit or a one piece, check to see if you have an escape hatch. In other words, a way to use the bathroom when you are wearing it. And I know this sounds like a gross thing or a funny thing.
I mean,
As somebody who has worn bodysuit cosplays, being able to go to the bathroom without having to take off the entire bodice of the costume is actually really important. And you would be surprised how many cheap and or party quality cosplays that are bodysuits don't have an escape hatch. That means you will have to take off the bodysuit to go to the bathroom.
Yep.
That is an important thing to know. Because you will go to a party and have to use the restroom at some point.
And the vast majority of those Zentai suits don't have that, where you really do have to take off the whole thing. It's just one zipper in the back or it's in the front and the whole thing has to come off. And it just, that's what you get with the party store quality, because that's easy. It's convenient for them, not for you.
Exactly. It's easier for them to manufacture that way because there's only one zipper.
Mm-hmm. In a very easy location for them to be able to do it in mass production style. Whereas if they had to do something below or had to do separate pieces, that's more time, that's more expense, that's more money.
Right. And that's even more important if you have things you're layering on top of the bodysuit, because those will also have to come off for the bodysuit to come off. So if you're wearing like armor or any accessories like harnesses over the top of your bodysuit, that's also something to take into account.
That's why you do the bodysuit where everything is already printed on top of it and you don't have to worry about the rest of it.
Right. Or if you have an escape hatch or you make an escape hatch, then you don't have to worry about
it.
You don't have to take off the whole suit.
Oh,
you only got to undo one part.
And then you're set.
And I know that there are so many Potters laughing right now.
But it's true.
Honestly, go back to previous episodes of ours where we tell the horror stories about wearing cosplays where you can't sit down, can't go to the bathroom, can't eat. Because you can't go to the bathroom, you can't drink. And so you're basically sitting there in, you know, cosplay hell being tortured because you can't do any of, you know, normally human bodily functions. Because this is what I do for the sake of cosplay. No,
no.
Please don't. Don't sacrifice your humanity for the sake of a cosplay. Please. And this goes for party quality costumes too.
Mm-hmm.
Don't sacrifice human functions for the sake of going to a Halloween party. Please don't. Please. And the last thing that I wanted to mention, and this is only applicable in certain situations, but since 'tis the time of year, for those who are choosing a costume to wear at, say, a corporate Halloween party, please check your company's policies before buying a costume, because there are certain costumes that may not be considered appropriate for work based on your company's policies. So please do have that in mind before you buy your costume. Know what you're getting into. You know, you don't want to make waves for the sake of a cosplay. Just like you don't want to sacrifice human bodily functions for the sake of cosplay, don't sacrifice your job for the sake of a cosplay. It's not worth it. It's better to be safe than sorry.
Mm. Go for neutral items. Don't go for anything too sexy or too over
political.
The top. Don't go for the political stuff. Just keep it simple. Witches, Frankenstein, mummy, The KISS policy, keep it simple, silly. Just keep it simple. That's all you need to do. Because even at my job, they wouldn't let me, like, I had to kind of give them this look of, like, are you sure? Like, that seems really weird. They were like, you can't wear any wigs. What? What? Because
And
they
that's an
were.
important thing to know before buying a costume.
Yeah, because their concern was they don't like having any strange color hair. And I was like, but the hair color is black. That's natural. So can I just do that? And they eventually relented. They were like, yeah, that's fine. That does seem a little too strict. But even then they were like, you can't do orange, yellow, pink, green, whatever. I'm like, but it's Halloween. But okay, we'll let that slide.
Yeah, generally, if you keep it to standard Halloween fare,
You should be
which there
fine.
are plenty of costumes of this year. I even just checked Spirit's site about 2 hours ago, and there are plenty of things like goblins, witches, scarecrows, mummies, ghosts, skeletons. Standard Halloween fare, there's plenty of that to choose from for this season. So you have plenty of things that you can wear for those types of parties, and then if you want to get something different for your personal Halloween parties, then you can, go all out and do what you're going to do for those. But just keep that in mind when you are purchasing a costume. And I would also please, as somebody who has worked retail, please do not wear the costume and then go try and return it.
Yeah, just accept your loss.
Please don't be that person.
Don't be that person.
Just accept that this, 20, 30, 40, $50 is part of your Halloween party budget. You
That's
can
the loss
always
you
wear the
take.
costume. You can always wear that costume next year if you take really good care of it. Or you can wear it for another party if you get a generic enough costume. You can always reuse the parts for something else. But please don't wear it to a party and then try and return it the next day. It's just gross.
It's just gross, and most places won't take it back, so just don't bother.
Yeah, please don't.
The only other one that I wanted to add to this is if you are looking for buying online at a cosplay shop, this is assuming that we're still within the time frame where you could get it delivered on time, because we know we're at the point where it's halfway through the month and that may not be the case, but that's fine too. I know you don't have a whole lot of opportunity to do research, but do try to do your research to figure out which one are the reputable sites and which ones are not the reputable sites. You'll find with a lot of cosplay shops, they all share very similar photos for costumes. And it can be very difficult to figure out which ones are the legitimate and which ones are the copycats who are probably selling you a cheaper quality item at either a similar or a slightly lower price. So unfortunately, with the cosplay shops, you do kind of have to do a lot more research before you just jump in and buy something. Check Twitter, check Google reviews, check Facebook groups, do whatever you can to try to find information about the cosplay shop before you purchase from them. There are reputable ones out there, but it's worth taking the time to research before you dump that money. Because a cosplay outfit, even for this time of year, it's still going to cost you probably $100 before shipping. Because you're going to get something that's a little bit nicer quality and something that's more in line with your fandom, and it might be a bit more niche. And they're usually handmade. Some of them are mass produced, but they're usually handmade. So, I mean, you get something that's a little bit different than party quality. But because there's so many copycat sites out there, they just copy and paste the same images and they just put a different watermark on it. So they all look the same. And you're like, I don't know exactly what I'm getting because it's just the same image that I see on 20 other sites. So it's worth taking the time to research before you click that buy button.
And you're going to want at this point to budget in accelerated shipping to get it here in time. Because at this point, even if you pay for standard shipping and they say, oh, well, it will be here within 5 days, 5 days from now is still probably going to be cutting it really close because chances are good it won't actually be 5 days.
Right.
So you're probably going to want to add into your budget expedited shipping. Or just go to your local retailer. You don't have to have something uber fancy for a Halloween party, I promise you.
Just dress up as something simple and have fun with it.
And you spend the entire rest of the year, 364 other days, churning out these amazingly immaculate, gorgeous cosplays that you wear to conventions and have these amazing photo shoots in and win
Right.
cosplay contests in them. take one day and just relax and have fun with it. And don't worry about the immaculate, completely embroidered, detailed cosplay that would win cosplay contests. Throw that out the door for one day. Just one.
Just one day. It's fine.
You can literally go back the next day to working on that next amazingly detailed cosplay.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We're not telling you to stop entirely. Just give it a break for 24 hours. Go be silly with friends at a costume party. Uh-huh. And then the next day come back and start embroidering again. It's fine. Uh-huh.
All right. Well, that is all that I had for this topic, unless you had anything else.
I'm good.
Awesome. Well, we will go ahead and bring an end to this episode 265 of Cosplay, the podcast for all things cosplay. Of course, if you would like to join in the conversation, let us know what you're wearing for Halloween, or let us know what you think Nick Cage should wear for Halloween if he happens to go out and about in a neighborhood near you. Feel free to join in the conversation via any of our social media, which of course you can find here.
For those who are watching us, all the information is located underneath Amber. For those who are listening, visit us at cospod.org, on Facebook or Instagram at Cosplay Podcast, or on YouTube and Twitter at CosPodcast, where the answer is Nick Cage would not need to dress up because he is Nick Cage.
Or of course you can email us and let us know your opinion, podcast@cospod.org, where you will get an answer from each one of us along with Nick Cage themed memes.
Guaranteed.
Otherwise, we will wish you happy cosplaying, everybody. Please stay safe, stay healthy, keep working on those cosplays, except for on Halloween Day itself, so that we can all see your shining smiley faces at a convention in cosplay one day soon near us. We'll see you guys next time in episode 266. Happy cosplaying, everybody. Good night.
Bye.